trust that you have been praying for the service tonight, and I encourage you, as Brother Titus did, to pray for me. Usually the first two nights I have basically some idea of what I'm going to preach, and then it's just open the rest of the time, the leadership of the Lord. And someone said, well, you did it all last night. But the thing of it is, that was just introducing all of my subjects. That's a good way to, you know, start things off. I'd like to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture found in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 20, and I want to read verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. I want you to really notice this with me. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Proverbs 26, 20, verse 6. I know y'all are turning. I'm not speaking a foreign language. I'm just from South. I told someone said, you said something last night, I didn't understand. I said, well, try to write that down so that maybe I can interpret it for you after service. It doesn't offend me at all, because I grew up rough shop, country style. I always counted the blessing to come here, and I know that I'm among friends. And it don't bother me at all. When I get up to preach, I just preach what the Lord lays on my heart and say it the way I know how to say it. And I always stand to be corrected if it's wrong. That is my pronouncing the words, not what I preach. But I like to joke and kid and cut up and have a good time. My subject tonight is the faithful few. The faithful few. If there's any truth that is found in God's Word, it is the truth of being faithful. Faithfulness is a biblical characteristic. You'll find this teaching in all 66 books, beginning in the book of Genesis, and going all the way to the book of Revelation. Now, I don't intend to preach all of that. Now, I know that I'm guilty, and I believe others are guilty. Many times we are prone to notice and preach to those that are unfaithful. Many times we're always preaching to those that are not here. And you know, you can major on that. You really can. But tonight I want to talk about the faithful few. The Lord always has the faithful few. It was true in the Old Testament. It was true in the days of the apostles. It's true in this present day in which that we live. One biblical example was Abraham. When Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, he said in Galatians chapter 3, and there in verse 9, when he was speaking concerning Abraham, he said this, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now notice how that Paul, on inspiration and leadership of the Holy Spirit, referred to Abraham as faithful Abraham. I like to go back in the book of Genesis and read what God said about Abraham. And this is recorded for us in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, and there in verse 18 and verse 19. Listen to what it says. This is before that he was going to send destruction upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and he tells Abraham what he is going to do. But look in verse 18 and 19. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Look at this. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of. I believe that we see here, not only in the book of Genesis, but we see even as the Apostle Paul refers to Abraham as being faithful Abraham. Now, being faithful is dangerous. It's catching. Being unfaithful is dangerous. And as we say down home, it rubs off. Now, an example in the family of Abraham, he had a servant. And that servant's name was Eliezer of Damascus. And as Abraham was faithful, if you'll read, Eliezer was faithful to his master, Abraham. I don't believe that we can expect servants to be faithful if masters are not faithful. I do not believe that we can expect children to be faithful if parents are not faithful. And I believe, brother, we teach by not only word, but we teach by example. And we teach more, and people read our lives more than they ever read our lips. You know, they say, read my lips. No, they read his lives, what they do, and what people do. So there's various illustrations in the Word of God. Abraham was a faithful man. But another Old Testament character that was faithful by the name of Moses. When Paul penned these words, I believe, when he wrote in the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, and he said there in verse 5 of this third chapter of Hebrews, listen to what it said. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. I believe that if there's anything that is taught in God's Word and that God teaches us as His children, it is to be faithful. It's very discouraging to any church when people that are members of that church will not be faithful. It is discouraging to any pastor when the church that he pastors, when the members will not be faithful to that church. And even farther than that, think about how the Lord looks at it. If you look at it that way, and if I look at it that way, think about how Jesus Christ looks upon it as the head of this church and the head of every true New Testament Baptist church. When many among Israel were unfaithful, God always had those that was faithful. There's never been any period of time, including today. And we major, and I'll say this, I'll repeat this, and we ought to say something about it. And we ought to warn people about unfaithfulness. And we ought to preach about it. And we ought to talk about those that are unfaithful. I mean, according to God's Word. But let us not ever forget, there are those that are faithful. And there's always been. God has had His faithful few. And you say few? Yes, in comparison to the multitude. God's people that has done His work have always been, comparatively speaking, few in number. He always had His faithful ones among the kings. Too much couldn't be said about kings like Ahab and Manasseh. Wicked as they were, and seemingly, even in that wickedness, as Manasseh, 50-some years, ruled as king longer than anybody else. But even at that time, we see there were some kings that were faithful to God. There was David. There was Hezekiah. And you can name many others that during a very dark and a very trying time, and seemingly when there was despair and people were perplexed in the nation of Israel because of these unfaithful and ungodly people, God always would raise up and have those that would be faithful to God and would bring the people of God back to God and to the ways of God. Even among the prophets, when at a time seeming over Israel, people were following after the prophets of Baal. We have that problem today. People today are prone to follow Baal. And the prophets of Baal. And similar to the things that even Baal worship represented. And did in the Old Testament. But even during such a time as that, there were the men like Elijah and Elisha. And you say, well, preacher, you ought not to get, down. And you ought not to become discouraged. Well, a great prophet like Elijah, began to think when he got under that juniper tree that he was the only one left that was serving God. But God had to remind even the prophet Elijah that I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. So even during that time, God had His faithful few. And I believe that we ought to take courage today that we, and seemingly all that we hear is those that have been in truth, how they're departing from truth, how they're going into various different things, methods and worldly things. But we must always remember the perpetuity of the Lord's church and that the Lord will always have His faithful few that will be faithfully serving Him when He comes or when He returns for them. This is true not only about the kings and the prophets, but it's true about the Lord's churches. Today, there is unfaithful ones both in the pulpit and in the pew. You can find them. And you don't have to many times look very hard to do it. You can find them. But at the same time, there are also those that are faithful both in the pulpit and the pew of the Lord's churches. Sometimes it seems like that to us preachers, we say, well, it seems like there's not going to be anybody left. We get like Elijah. Well, humanly speaking or fleshly speaking, we feel that way. And sometimes as a church, you begin to think, well, there's nobody else that's really trying to stand for the truth. And we can't find anybody that really believes the truth of God's Word and willing to practice it as a church. But there are others. And there are other men of God that are faithfully proclaiming the Word of God. And they're scattered all over the world. God has them. And there's other True Testament Baptist churches that are standing for the truth and proclaiming the Word of God. And many times it is just a few. Now, God's not restricted in number. He's not. A church doesn't have to be small in number. A church doesn't have to be large in number. A church is to be exactly what God makes it to be, according to the truth and the Word of God. But in any church, regardless of the number, in any church, even this church, even the church I pastor, there is always in those churches the faithful few. The faithful few carry the Lord's work. They carry it on. And they stand for the Lord, and they keep those churches going. In many churches, some people are just right there. I don't know whether to use the word hobos or what, but they're just catching a free ride, seems like. And they're just sort of riding along easy. And the faithful few are the ones that really do the Lord's work in that church. We're admonished even, as Jude wrote in Jude 3, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And brethren, we are to continually, earnestly contend for the faith. There's only the faith. And we're to earnestly contend for it. I believe that when Paul was writing, and of course there's a double application can be made of this scripture, but when he wrote in that first letter to the Corinthian church, and he said there, and he was talking about ministers in one portion of that, and what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and there in verse 1 and verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 4, because you see what he said in verse 1, he said, "Let a man so account of us," it's Paul speaking, "as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God." He says in verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." I don't know a church in existence today that does not want or require their pastor to be faithful. Do you? Now think about this, because this is a loaded thing I'm going to give you. I'm loading it up for you. You expect it. What about when you turn it this way? The responsibility of being faithful is just as much upon you as it is upon the man of God. Churches wouldn't hear. They say, "We would not keep a pastor if he wasn't faithful." Now turn that around. I just want you to think about that. I want the Lord to enable you to think about it. Not me. A steward is one that has the care of what belongs to another. We're stewards of God. We as men of God handle the Word of God. And I'm glad that it is required of us to be faithful. And I don't try to diminish that truth in any way, or to apologize or to excuse myself. Tell you what, I like to be harder on myself than my church is on me. Because I know that I'm responsible to stand before the Lord and to give an account as to whether or not I was a faithful steward and a faithful preacher of the Word of God. But the same thing is true of every one of you that have been saved by the grace of God and has been added to one of the Lord's true churches. What a privilege. What a responsibility that is placed upon us. Now, some ways that we will be faithful. There's basically two tonight that I want to talk about. First, I believe, primary, foremost, is being faithful to the Lord. Faithful to the Lord. I believe the basis of everything that we do, whether as pastor or a layman in church, just a member of the church, or as a husband, or as a wife, or as a servant, or as a master, I believe that the basis of every thing that we do ought to be as unto the Lord. And brother, I mentioned this last night, and I came across it in some scripture. And all the things that I spoke about concerning Philippians 4:13, we are responsible to be faithful to the Lord. And that involves everything that we do as a born-again believer from the very moment that we're saved till we reach glorification. And you'll never get from under that. It'll always be that way. I believe in being faithful to the Lord. I believe, first of all, we have to be faithful to the Word of God. If you'll notice with me, in the book of John, and there in chapter 5 of the book of John, and then verse 39 of that fifth chapter of the book of John, notice what it says. Search the Scriptures. Now Jesus is admonishing us to search the Scriptures. I believe to be faithful to the Lord that we have to search the Scripture. We have to know the Word of God. I believe the Word of God is to become part of us. Look what he said. For in them ye think you have eternal life. Now notice. Here's the part. And they are they which testify of me. Who ever heard of anybody saying they love the Lord and didn't want to read about it? Now think about it. Whoever, if anybody said, oh, I'm faithful to the Lord, but I haven't read my Bible in years. That's not consistent with the Bible, with the Word of God. Search the Scriptures, and for they are they that testify of me. The Word of God, they testify of Christ. He reveals Himself to us through the Word. As we study the Word of God, He reveals Himself to us. We see the Lord. As we study and as we read the Word of God under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we hear through the Word of God of salvation by the Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't believe that in any detail can we minimize the Word of God. I believe as far even as salvation is concerned. We receive also, as I mentioned last night, the salvation of our life by the Word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. An Old Testament example that we find, and notice the response that came just from the Word of God in 2 Kings. We find there in chapter 22 of 2 Kings, and there in verse 9 down through verse 13 of that 22nd chapter of the book of 2 Kings. Notice what it says. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and delivered it into the hand of them that do the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, and notice this, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Well, I believe today, probably the thing that we're the most irreverent to, and that we perhaps, using this word, mistreat or misuse, is the Word of God. I believe we even do that in our churches today. Now look, as he goes on here, and what that he says concerning this. Not only did he rend his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azahiah a servant of the king, saying, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and all Judah," notice, "concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us." Why? "Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all which is written concerning us." Now what's any difference? What's any different today than then? The same God that was displeased with these people here in the Old Testament by not heeding the Word of God is the same God that's displeased when His people do not heed the Word of God today. And I believe, brother, that we see here that we need to be faithful to the Word of God. Now, being faithful to the Word of God is more than just reading it. Being faithful to the Word of God is more than just studying it. Being faithful to the Word of God is putting into practice what we read and what we study and what we hear. How many times do we know what the Bible says? And we know that it's of God, but we don't do what the Bible says, even though it is of God. And so, brother, I believe in being faithful to the Lord, you must be faithful to the Word of God. Not only reading it, not only studying it, but putting into practice that which God brings to your attention and become a reality in your life. And it ought not to be boresome. It ought not to be laborious. It ought not to be that. It ought to be a joy. It ought to bring happiness. And it does. When you hear the Word of God, when you read it, when you study it, and then when you put it into practice, there will never be a happier moment in your life as a child of God than when you are faithful to the Lord by being faithful to His Word. Many times people think all that there is being faithful to the Word is just knowing it. Just knowing what it says and being able to quote verses. Brother, what good is that unless it is put into practice? That's like a man beholding himself in a mirror. That's what Paul said. And then the Word of God is God's mirror. And when you look into the Word of God, you not only see God, you not only see the Lord Jesus Christ, but you see yourself. And you see your sins. And you see your way. And then what if you look into that mirror and just go on your way? And do not become a doer of the Word. Paul say about that? You know right well what he says about it. And so we see here that we receive the consummation of our salvation by the Word of God. Now here's what will happen to you. When you're faithful to the Lord, by being faithful to the Word of God, it'll change your vocabulary. And a lot of us need some work on our vocabulary. And I'm not talking about whether we say carry or take, you know, or whether we use verbs wrong. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about our vocabulary, our speech ought to be seasoned with the Word of God. We ought to be able to talk God's language, not the world's language. And not the ways of the world. But the Word of God ought to so be upon our hearts, and it's upon our lips that it comes forth. But when we are faithful to the Lord by being faithful to the Word of God, it will not only affect your vocabulary, but it will also affect your actions. What you do, you won't be able to help it. I'm not saying you'll be trying to keep from it. Because when you, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, are faithful to the Lord by being faithful to His Word, you'll with great joy talk about Him, and you'll speak of Him, and it'll change your life. It'll change what you do. It'll change how you look. It'll change where you go. It'll change what you are. It'll change everything about you as a child of God. What it is, you'll be conformed to His image. Brother, that is the results that we have. But we're not only faithful to the Lord by being faithful to His Word, but I believe that we're faithful to the Lord by being faithful to pray. Now, how often do we pray? I'm asking you that. I'm asking myself that. I'm just going to notice a few scriptures here of a psalmist. What the psalmist said in the fifth division, first of all, of the book of Psalms, and therein, verse 3 of the fifth division of the book of Psalms. Listen to the psalmist. What he said: "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." Now, how many times do we fail to do that? I'm talking to me. And I'm talking to you. Tell you what. I can't figure this out. The older I get, the busier I become, and the less I get done. Now, nobody else has that problem but me, I'm confident. Some of you young people here don't understand what I'm talking about. Not yet. And sometimes we think that we have become so busy that we don't have time to pray. But I believe the psalmist gives us this. But notice also in the Psalms, he said in Psalm 88 and 1, "O Lord of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee." Back Psalm 55, and therein, verse 17 of Psalm 55, he said, "Evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." I believe that the psalmist said in many other places that God is well pleased with the sacrifice of our lips, and that is a praying, and that is asking, that is offering our supplications and prayers and petitions, and that is offering our thanksgiving unto God. How many times do we only pray when there's something wrong? The Lord knows that, and the Lord, that's how He does bring us to prayer. You let something come in our lives. Something come in the lives of our family that we love or our friends that we love, and we pray. We ought to pray. Brother, we ought to pray morning, noon, and night, and pray without ceasing, regardless whether there's a tragedy or whether there's a trial or whether there's a persecution or whether there's a tribulation. And how many times then God answers our prayers or God blesses us that we fail even then to thank Him for what He has done for us? I believe that James said it, and said it the best that can be said in James 5 and verse 16. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Brother, I believe that. I believe that we ought to confess our faults one to another. I believe that we ought to pray one for another. Any church that'll pray for one for another will be a church that God will greatly bless. Will be a church that God will greatly strengthen. A church that will confess their faults one to another. Pride, our old pride, keeps us from doing a lot of things. We like for people to think, you know, really there's not, you know, I'm not done anything wrong in me, or I wouldn't do this, or I wouldn't do that. And we all know better than that. Every one of us know that we're only sinners saved by the grace of God. And I believe here the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now I tell you what praying will do. Not only will the Word of God affect your vocabulary and your actions, but praying, and when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said, pray without ceasing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Praying and being faithful in prayer, it'll change your attitude. Did you know it's hard for you to stay mad at somebody in this church if you'll pray for them? Try. I mean try. All of us, you know, sometimes we use this old excuse. We say, well, I got up on the wrong side of the bed. No, that wasn't what it was. You know, it's the old flesh. An old wretched man that I am. And sometimes we'll have a chip on our shoulder. We wear the feelings, you know, on the tip of our fingers. And we just really are wanting to be offended and somebody to knock them off so that we can have something to talk about. So-and-so has done me this way. But I tell you what, if you'll pray for those people, it'll change your attitude. Lord, we'll not let you stay cantankerous and offended. The Lord will completely change your attitude. We are admonished to pray, and there's so many scriptures, and I'm not going to go into all these. But part of our vocabulary, praying will change your vocabulary. Part of our vocabulary in life must be, I'm praying for you. And that needs to be heard in New Testament Baptist churches. And I believe that's part of being faithful to the Lord. Praying one for another. It ought to be in our vocabulary. I'm praying for you. It ought to be in our vocabulary. We are praying for you. Though men and women of this church, and true of our church, that pray together, have a special love for each other. There's a special bond that God gives us and places between people in the church that will pray together. We have in our church, this may not be true here, I don't know, but in our church, each Sunday night before our services, we have the men meet and the women meet to pray, and that's all we meet for. We don't meet for anything else. But we meet to pray. I mean, it's not a gossip session. It's not this or that, because those things can get out of hand. But we meet to pray. I'm in charge of one. My wife's in charge of the other. So we keep that thing, you know. And I know how we all are. People like to talk when they get together. But we only have 30 minutes, and we meet to pray. And I've noticed that those that will, not all, will come to those prayers because that requires them to be there 30 minutes early. But those that come to those prayer groups and we have a request and we pray for our church and we pray one for another. We pray for the lost. We pray for the backslidden. We pray for the man of God. We pray that the Word of God have free course. There's a special bond of love that God gives us by just being together and praying together. So I believe this is part of being faithful to the Lord. But then the second way, or the second thing I want us to note about, is I believe the faithful few will not only be faithful to the Lord in the Word of God and in praying, but I believe that the faithful few will also be faithful to the Lord's church. The Lord's church is the most important part of our life. Everything else is secondary. You believe that? I believe it. And I believe this church believes that. The most important part of your life is the church. You say, no, my family. You say, no, my job. Well, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. And I believe that the Word of God tells us that the Lord's church is the most important part of our life. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I just got to get away a little while. It's pretty hard to get away from the most important part of your life. If it really is the most important thing in your life, one of the most enjoyable times of my life is to be in the Lord's house. Now, don't take me wrong. I'm flesh and blood just like you. And there's times that I become weary. I mean, this old flesh. There's times that I'm tired. But I believe that one of the most enjoyable times of my life is to be in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. That is where the Lord has placed me, or where the Lord has set me to be a part of that body that He has placed me in. The greatest testimony that any person can have is to be faithful to the church the Lord has added them to. Just being present. You say, oh yeah, you can be present. You can come to every service and still be backslidden. I'm not disagreeing with that. But it's pretty hard. And it's unlikely. Because I tell you what, in most Baptist churches I know, the Word of God's preached. And the Holy Spirit's there. And to me, it's awful hard to sit every service in a Baptist church under the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and stay backslidden. Because the Word of God does one or two things. It will drive, or it'll draw. And it both has effect, and Paul talked about the effect that it had. Only those, I believe, that the Holy Spirit teaches the truth of the Lord's church will be faithful. But you don't know to be faithful unless you're taught the truth of what it really means to be a member of one of the Lord's church. Now, in this faithfulness, we must be faithful to give. There are some things that God requires of us. First of all, we must be faithful to give our time. Think how little time that God requires of you to be in a week to be faithful to this church. Now, your preacher may be a long-winded preacher. I don't know. So I can't say on an average of this or average of that. I can only think about myself as to how long I preach and how long I hold services. As to how many hours a week that you'll spend here in this church, in this together as assembly. But in the comparison of all the other hours you have in a week, think how few hours that you really spend here in the Lord's house. But brother, that's not all there is into being faithful in giving your time to the Lord. Just the time that you spend right here. I believe there's time that should be spent in preparation. I believe here's where that we falter and fail many times in being faithful to the Lord's church is we don't prepare to come to the house of the Lord. Sometimes in our Sunday school classes, some of the children fall asleep. And so my wife says, hey, you're sleepy this morning. They said, yeah. I said, we stayed up all night. We watched so-and-so, or we had company. Now, nothing wrong with having company, and there might not be nothing wrong with watching so-and-so. It all depends on what it is. But the thing of it is, you got to remember that tomorrow's the Lord's Day. You can't stay up all night on Saturday night and be in any condition to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. Really, to be able to hear the Word of God and to be an effective part of that church.
And I believe that everybody here needs to be awake. And I'm not seeing anybody asleep, but I'm just saying as far as not sleeping in church. But the thing of it is to pray and to be able to be active in the worship service. Very important. I believe time ought to be spent in preparation. I believe that even you ought to leave home in time to get to church on time. And I believe there ought to be some preparation as you're not fussing and fighting all the way here. How in the world can you be faithful to the Lord? You know, when you're in a fight, husband and wife, and I don't know you folks that well, but if I did, I'd still preach it anyway. But the thing of it is, how in the world can you really be faithful to the Lord and worship the Lord if you're the husband and wife fussing and fights all the way to church and then they come in, you know, like peaches and cream? Sweet as pie. And then a big fuss between the kids and the parents all the way to church and they come in and then they go and just turn it on and sit down, you know, and be an active part in the service and really participate and take part. You can't do that! Nobody can do that. So, brother, I believe there ought to be time spent in preparation. That is prayer and study. We ought to prepare to go to the Lord's house. Time going to and from. We ought not to drag in late unless we're providentially hindered. I believe this is all part of it. Some people, you can set your clock by. You know they're going to be 10 minutes late. I mean, you can just set the clock by. And I believe that's displeasing the Lord. It's displeasing to me. And I know, and it's probably displeasing to the church. It's displeasing to other people. But people don't want to be real rude to you or offensive, you know, to you. And so many times we tolerate that kind of a thing. But the Lord is the one, I believe, that we need to think about. So we need to prepare and we need to make sure we have plenty of time. Now I recognize there's the providence of God. No, there's times that we'll be providentially hindered. I believe then, as far as the time in the services, we ought not to just rush in and rush out. And, you know, while we're here the whole time, worry about, well, the roast is burning. If you're going to worry about that, don't turn that thing on before you leave home. Go hungry. Eat hot dogs. Eat bologna. I'll do that. I reckon I grew up on it. Beans and taters. I'll eat those things, but I'm talking about these are just simple practical things, but what they do is they hinder us from being faithful to the Lord and really serving the Lord, because we live in this instant age in which that we live in. We want instant pudding, we want instant tea, we want instant coffee, and we want instant religion, and we want instant church. It's what we have many times. And God's not pleased. God's grieved with it. I don't know where I come up with all those instances, but anyway I did. But then, I believe that we ought not only be faithful to give our time, but we ought to be faithful with our talents. I believe that in any true New Testament church, that God places the people there that needs to be placed there with a talent that needs to be in that church to be used in that church for the glory of the Lord. And I believe that's where it's to be used, for the glory of the Lord. Talent of preaching. God called me in the talent and the ability that God gives to teach the Word of God. The ability, the talent that God gives for men to pray. The talent and ability that God gives for His people to sing praises to Him. Brother, we ought to be faithful in giving these talents to the Lord for His honor and for His glory. Then we ought to be faithful in giving the tithes and the offerings. A tithe is a tenth. An offering is above the tithe. The tithes and offerings belong to the church you're a member of. And they ought not to go anywhere else. I'll tell you what I do. I don't know what you do. And it don't embarrass me at all. But when I go by these roadblocks, I roll up my window. Or if I don't roll it up, I tell them, I give to my church, to the Lord's church. Now, you can do with that what the Lord wants you to, but that's what I do with it.
Because I believe that my giving ought to be to the Lord's church, the church the Lord gave me to. I don't send it off over here to somebody else. I don't send off over here to Red Cross. I'm not against the Red Cross now, but I just happen to mention that. I have a habit of doing that. And then I don't send it off over here to some evangelistic preacher. I don't send it over here to some radio ministry. Because God didn't give you honor and glory from that. It's honor and glory to himself through Jesus Christ, through his church, by Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. An offering is above the tithe. Now, there are some that are faithful, and there are some that are unfaithful. The sad thing is, in many churches, only a few carry the load, the financial load. Only a few. Most Baptist churches, if every member of that church would tithe and give offerings as the Lord really intends for them to, we wouldn't know hardly what to do with the money that would come in to be used for the glory of God. Brother, this is true in the church that I pastor. But we must not only be faithful to the Lord in attendance, not only must we be faithful to give, but we must be faithful to go. I believe that sometimes we neglect or we fail in this aspect. When the Lord gave his commission to his church, listen to what he said. He said it in two places. He said it in Matthew and he said it in Mark. Matthew chapter 28 and then Mark 16. In Matthew 28, and he was talking to his church. Now, he wasn't talking to the preacher. He was talking to his church. Now, the preacher is part of the church. But sometimes people think that the Lord was only talking to the preacher. But he was talking to his churches. And listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 8. And I believe that the preacher that's of God is willing to go. Let me clarify that, lest you think I'm saying the preacher ought not to go. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go. Ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, Lord, whatsoever you need in the end of the earth, of age, or the end of the world. Mark chapter 16, and there in verse 16, place, it says very emphatically here in this, and he saith unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He was talking to his church. And I believe to be faithful to the Lord, not only must we faithfully attend the assembly, not only must we faithfully give over tithe and over tithe and over tithe, but I believe that we must be faithful to go. Take the gospel into all of the world. There's many other things that could be said, various subjects. And I believe that. I believe faithfulness is something, if we're faithful in one thing, I believe we'll be faithful in other things. Now, as Abraham was faithful, his servant was faithful. I believe that we ought to be faithful to our family. I'm not going to preach on this. I'm just going to mention these. But that's a sermon in itself. I believe that we ought to be faithful to our vocation. We ought to be faithful to our job. That's what I'm saying. God's giving you a job, take him for it. And be faithful to it. And do it as unto the Lord. Be honest in it. Do the very best you can for the glory of God. But we ought to be faithful to our church. I believe all these tie together. A person that will not be faithful to their church will have a tendency not to be faithful to their job. A person that will not be faithful to their church and faithful to their job will have a tendency not to be faithful to their family. Brother, I believe that faithfulness in all of these things of the Lord and it is a blessing. Thank God for the faithful few. Thank God. It's so hard sometimes when we assemble on Sunday night as men to pray It's discouraging to some of the men there because not more come to that prayer room. And I know that if we get to majoring on that, that we won't receive a blessing from being there ourselves. Just like in church, in the assembly. And I tell them, I say, I know what you're saying, I know what you how you feel, but thank God for the ones that are here. You get the point? Now notice, Paul best sums up this great truth when he said in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Now what's the result? Who shall be able to teach others also? A person that's not faithful will never be able to teach anybody else anything for the glory of God. For Paul said it, commit thou to faithful men. I believe that when men are placed in the ministry or churches, ordaining somebody in the ministry, I don't believe they ought to ordain anybody that's not faithful. I know churches that have called men from as pastors from other Baptist churches that were not faithful to the church they were members of. They did wrong in doing that. Because I don't believe a man that will not be faithful to a church that he's a member of will not be faithful to the church that he pastors. Now, listen to this. Matthew chapter 25. Now, there's not so much that can be said, but Matthew 25, verse 21 and 23. His Lord said unto him, now notice this, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You say, well, I really, you know, don't have much to be faithful over. You be faithful over what God's given you, the place he's given you, whatever it is, however seemingly small it may be to you. But notice, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now I believe that we should be faithful regardless as to whether other people are or not. Have you ever heard people try to justify their unfaithfulness because somebody else was unfaithful? Said, why should I? So-and-so doesn't. Well, now, who are you doing it for, so-and-so or the Lord? Now, here's the key to the whole thing. How many times did you excuse yourself because of somebody else's unfaithfulness? You're not going to meet Christ at the judgment seat of Christ as to what somebody else has done. But you're going to stand there as to what you've done and to whether or not you've been faithful. We should not be discouraged because others are unfaithful. The unfaithful always will find fault. That's where it comes from. And complain in a church. The faithful will not be occupied with murmuring and complaining. But you know what they're doing? They're busy serving the Lord. But you let a person become unfaithful, and they will find all kinds of fault with the preacher. They'll find all kinds of fault with the church. And they'll complain to the heavens. Let the Lord get a hold of them by the power of the Holy Spirit and preach the Word of God. And they'll quit that griping and complaining and murmuring. And they'll get right back in there and faithfully serve the Lord. When I see people becoming backslidden, and usually they'll drop out on Wednesday night, and usually Sunday night will be too much, and they'll just hit it on Sunday morning, and then they'll begin to miss on Sunday morning every now and then. I know exactly what's coming. I know the first thing you know, they're going to be criticizing me. They're going to be criticizing the church. They're going to be criticizing everybody in there or anybody that's trying to serve the Lord. They're going to criticize them and find something wrong with them. But you let the Lord, by His marvelous grace, work in their life and show them how they ought to be faithful. And that all let them quit. And they'll say, they'll repent and say, I was wrong. And I want you to forgive me. And I want to now, by God's grace, to be faithful and to serve Him. The faithful will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Now I want to ask you tonight. Do you number, and I'm not trying to fire metal, but I want you yourself, do you number yourself among the faithful or the unfaithful of this church? Now I'm putting you on the spot. Because I don't know how you're going to answer, but the Lord does. Do you number yourself among the faithful or the unfaithful in this church? But I'm going to go a little farther than that. Does the Lord number you among the faithful or the unfaithful of this church? Now the Lord knows it, and surely you do. I don't. And that's between you and the Lord. But I'm thankful. And in every church, there's always those that are unfaithful. But how we ought to thank God that there is always a faithful few. And I pray tonight that not only you can say, yes, by the grace of God, I am numbered among the faithful few. And yes, you can say tonight, yes, by the grace of God, the Lord numbers me among the faithful few in this church. I'll tell you, if you can, you'll be able to leave here not glorying in yourself. You'll be able to leave here glorying in the Lord. And you'll leave here humbled before an almighty God. And you'll leave here thanking God for His grace. That's sufficient. And for enabling you by His grace to be faithful. I pray that the Lord might be pleased to take this message and apply it to our hearts. To each of us here tonight that's saved by the grace of God, and especially you that are saved and are members of this New Testament Baptist Church. We're going to stand and sing a hymn in closing. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, what you need more than anything else, one of the things that you need primary, first and foremost, is to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're saved by the grace of God and you've become wayward and you're out of fellowship with the Lord, you're out of fellowship with His church, it ought to be a God-given desire of your heart, even tonight, before you leave here, to make that thing right between you and the Lord and to make that thing right between you and the church. For God's glory and for your good, for your peace and for your joy and for your happiness. When are you the happiest? I'll tell you when it is. When you're faithfully serving the Lord in this church where the Lord has added you. Now we're going to sing, Brother Barry. Brother Titus is going to be here at the front any way the Lord speaks to you tonight.